Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On today's wrestling news, Becky Lynch and Charlotte have backstage heat.
Andrade shoots hard on WWE.
The tournament brackets have been announced for AEW's TBS title.
And Braun Strowman looks set to debut on Impact.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things wrestling. But before we get into it, make sure you like the video. Comment down below what you think of all today's news stories. Subscribe to the channel, and in the description there's little timestamps to each individual story, so click them and off you go. But first up, it is Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. They were supposed to be doing a big title swap thing on SmackDown, because that's a really exciting way to do these things. It was right at the very end of SmackDown. Sonya Deville was out there, and she was basically just asking them to swap the belts. Like, you're off to Raw, you're here on SmackDown. Let's just do a swap and go our ways. Neither woman seemed very impressed with this in the ring. The crowd was chanting Becky two belts throughout it. Charlotte looked really reluctant to kind of give up her Raw title. And then Becky kind of reached in just to grab it off her, and Charlotte kind of pulled it away and then just dropped it on the floor. And then Sonya Deville was like, just pick it up. Like, she picked it up, gave it to Sonya Deville. So instead of passing the belt, Becky threw her SmackDown title at Charlotte, and then they got the belt swapped eventually. So it was all a bit of a weird little moment. And then afterwards, like, Charlotte was like, oh, you want to be Becky two belts? Well, how about this, like, winner takes all tonight? And the crowd goes wild, obviously. And then out comes Sasha Banks, and she's like saying that, like, Charlotte, if you think you're just going to come over to the blue brand and take over, bitch, you're out of your mind. She said the B word. No! To which Charlotte said, like, oh, Sasha, this is a PG show. That's not very nice. I did quite like that as a response. And then Becky just kind of buggered off, saying she's off to Raw. She's going to let these two figure it out, and she'll see one of them at Survivor Series. And then Sasha and Charlotte had a bit of a brawl until they were broken up. So that was the end of the segment. But this is where PW Insider comes in, because Mike Johnson is reporting that multiple sources have said to him that there was a backstage confrontation between the two champions. Now, before this went down, Charlotte was voicing concerns that she didn't want to look weak or make her championship reign look weak by doing this segment and just kind of swapping the belts. But in spite of her concerns, the segment just went on as planned anyway. And however, the bits in it where Charlotte dropped her belt on the floor and where Becky threw her belt at Charlotte were not planned, and that is not how it was supposed to go. So after that, there was a confrontation between the two backstage, where Lynch and Flair, like, Becky Lynch was saying that she, like, Flair had allegedly, like, disrespected Lynch by, like, trying to make her look bad in the moment. And one source stated that there was loud words between the two, but they were told that it wasn't, like, a physical confrontation. It was just a very heated argument. So it's all kind of kicking off around this sort of championship belt swap. And personally, I am completely behind Charlotte Flair on this one. It's a really, really dumb segment. They've done it before, and it just doesn't make anyone look good. And then the way it all went down in the ring kind of almost devalues both of the belts, the way that both of them were treating the belts. And obviously, no one was happy with this situation, and it was just kind of, it was just stupid all around, really.
Yeah, and it made for incredible car crash telly for a moment. Indeed. It was great. Sonya Deville was just staring at Charlotte Flair like, what are you doing to me right now? Stop. It was It's just one of those things, I guess, when you've got these massive stars, really. Like, you just got to call it how it is. You've got massive stars here that just don't want to look bad. And you get given this kind of script, this kind of moment where you're pretty much being told to trot out there and look bad for the most part. You're going to get this. You're going to get people just tempers flaring up and people blaming other people and saying, you're trying to make me look stupid in this moment. It's a bit of a sad development when you just look at where Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch were, I guess, if this is true. This did actually go down backstage. Like, they were really good friends at one point, and you can just see lives changed. Like, obviously, they've gone off in their different directions, and now it is about just being in the position where you are the top person in the company, full stop, and they both want to be that, evidently. If you listen to Charlotte Flair, she gave an interview with Renee Paquette a couple of weeks ago, and it did come across there that she still sees herself as the top person in the company, and that's something, obviously, that Becky feels the same way about as well. You're going to get this. You're going to get this friction, and it's, if it does lead to a bit more drama just laced into things, if they do actually, like, fight at Survivor Series, that's, we like this. We like the lines blurring. It makes everything a bit more tasty. But Charlotte Flair just waving the flag right now for the most part, just for this thing being stupid and just pretty much saying what we're all thinking. It is a weird thing to do. Don't do it. You wouldn't do it with your top world titles. I'll say it. I'll throw it out there. You wouldn't do it with your WWE and Universal Championships. So don't do it with the women's titles either. It's silly.
And you say Andrade that, like, feels like that way as well. The saving grace behind this is that Survivor Series is kind of coming up. So we probably still will get the Charlotte versus Becky match. And if they can somehow turn this into an interesting feud, then at least there's more there than there would be if it's just brand warfare, which is also complete rubbish. But yeah, just don't book yourself into these corners where you have to do these stupid belt swaps that never make anyone look good. Like, they just don't work. Stop doing it.
And do you get an additional title reign for that? That's why I never understand. Does it get notched up as you've suddenly become...
So.
It's just weird.
I can't remember what
they did last time. It's like a weird slash next to it.
It's stupid all around.
Yeah, we don't like it. And Andrade apparently agrees, to be honest, because he's popped up on Twitter, and it's quite a subtle tweet, this, so we might have to really, like, look into the complexities behind it. But he tweeted out, F you, WWE. So, yeah, not sure what he means by that, personally.
But, no, I'd say reading between the lines, you can probably figure it out.
Yeah, you can just join those dots together. It does seem as though, obviously, Andrade is the fiance of Charlotte Flair. So, like, you feel like, oh, is he just, like, responding to what's happened backstage? Like, is that the thing? Or is it just Andrade giving WWE, like, two fingers and just saying, screw you, because him and Pac had an incredible match on Rampage and they were both in WWE, and WWE completely fumbled both of them, and they're just going, this is what we can do, screw you guys. So it could be either or, but it's evident.
I imagine it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, exactly, a bit of a combination. He's covered a lot of bases here in about five letters, so he's an efficient man, and we salute you, Andrade, for just saying it like it is, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, all for it. Not much more to add to that. He kind of said it all himself.
I wish I had this kind of efficiency with my tweets, Will.
I know, right? But yeah, speaking of AEW, they did announce the AEW TBS title tournament brackets. And it's all quite interesting. It's a little bit strange. But we've got Penelope Ford versus Ruby Soho, Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter, The Bunny versus Red Velvet, and Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida. But weirdly, they've got kind of four women that they've kind of just given a bye through the first round and have automatically advanced into the sort of quarterfinals, and that is Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander. So Thunder Rosa's going to meet whoever wins between Anna Jay and Jamie Hayter. Cargill is going to wrestle either the Bunny or Velvet. Nyla Rose is going to face either Serena or Shida, and Statlander will face either Ford or Soho. Obviously, like, Ruby Soho and Penelope Ford have a little bit of a thing going on, so that's kind of why they'd want to do that. But just a little bit of a odd tournament setup where they haven't, like, just given four people random buys, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, like, ranking based, like, if they're kind of going down that route with it. But again, it does always feel a bit weird. It's like, well, I get, like, your rankings are supposed to mean something. I don't know if that is the case right now. I'm not really brushed up on my AEW women's rankings at this moment in time, but
yeah,
if that is the case, it cheapens the tournament a little bit. Like, it'll still be great. Like, some of the matches,
yeah,
the potential matches
really
are going to be class. Yeah, like, that's a field. That is a serious field. Like, looking how far this women's division's come in the last year or so, this field probably wouldn't have been possible at all then, if, like, you just look at it then. So just seeing where we're at with it, it's great, absolutely. Really. They've made a lot of progress. So I'm really excited for this. I'm my personal pick, obviously, I want Ruby Soho to win this whole damn thing because she's just awesome. But there's a lot of people in that bracket I'd be happy with as well. So it's all good to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But another big twist. An unexpected twist. Well, kind of expected if you've been really keeping your ear to the ground when it comes to wrestling news this week, is a debut could be happening. A big one. A big old Braun debut. And Bound for Glory is apparently going to be, potentially going to be happening, because Adam Schur has been spotted flying to Las Vegas from Chicago. So PW Insider have said that it's looking like he's going to be using the nickname The Titan going forward, and he's expected to debut this weekend for Impact Wrestling, and it's most likely going to be at Bound for Glory. Obviously, they do a lot of tapings over the weekend, so there's the chance he could just pop up on Impact Wrestling later down the road, and they'll just tape it for now. But you kind of want somebody that big maybe to pop up on your biggest pay-per-view of the year. Just a little thought. So that's probably what they are going to do. He was spotted having a meeting last week with Impact Executive Vice President Scott D'Amore. That was in Michigan at the Motor City Comic Con, and they apparently had a really long conversation, probably talking about all the money that they're going to give to Mr. Strowman, or whatever his name is going to be, Sheer, the Shermanator.
Adam!
That's patent pending, actually. I think that's a What Culture trademark, rather. He was obviously released in June, like it's part of WWE's big round of releases, and in terms of like his activity, it's been an odd one, Braun Strowman, because he's not just jumped straight back into wrestling and just started battering everyone on the independents or anything like that. He's announced earlier this month that he's going to be an analyst for the Mr. Olympia Arm Wrestling Championships for NBC Sports. So he's doing that. He's got big arms, this guy. We've seen him. And he also returned to the ring, kind of in a way, at EC3's Free the Narrative 2 thing that's on YouTube now. So he's dabbled back in the wrestling world, but he's not explicitly just jumped straight into it and signed up for a company yet, until this moment. Let's see.
Until now. He's been an interesting one. He kind of came out of WWE and immediately knew his own worth. So, he's the kind of guy that you'd kind of want to crop up in the indies, because, the size of Braun Strowman and getting him in, a 16-foot indie ring against indie guys would just be absolutely hilarious. And I think you could do some really entertaining things there. But, rumors way back when he first came out was that he was pricing himself very, very high coming out of WWE and completely priced himself out of the market for independent wrestling and things like that. But at least he knows his own worth and he knows what he wants. And he's going for it. And Impact have been advertising this Bound for Glory show as who they could show up, past wrestlers, basically they had Samoa Joe on their original videos, because that was back when he was first released from WWE. Basically everyone that had been released from WWE that had any kind of link to Impact whatsoever, they were basically teasing in this video package of it could be absolutely anybody. And now we've got Inspiration. The Iconics obviously are coming back on Bound for Glory as well, and we've got the rumors of Braun Strowman, and there's still a big mystery man match thing, so this is going to still could be some very interesting things happening. So I think Bound for Glory is definitely one to watch for the future of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, and I just hope he's used well, Mr. Braun, Mr. Sher, Mr. Titan, because I think he had a bit of a weird stuttering finish in WWE, and he deserves to be treated like the attraction he is.
He did. I think he'll have a good run in Impact, though. He's a very different to everything else on that roster, and I think they could easily market that. He is a very, 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 very sellable look, let's say.
Big, bold, and muscly.
Yeah, good stuff. But let's move over to your Twitter questions. And the first one comes from Luke Cullen, who says, if you were a pro wrestler, would you rather be booked really well as a mid-card champion or be booked below standard as a top world champion?
So you're pretty much asking, do you want the acclaim or do you want the big stamp that says you've been a former world champion?
Star power or the work rate IC title run?
I want the glory, Phil. I want the big world title belt, and I want all the pictures and all the press tours. Yeah, I need that. I need that in my life. So I go for the poorly booked world champion. Yeah.
Yep. I'll take the Jinder Mahal one any day of the week. Tippy top, baby.
That's the one. Need the money.
Why the hell not? That's where the money is. Next question comes from Mark Salad. I'm glad we agree on these things.
I was going to say, we're just so soulless. This is it's far from a wholesome channel, isn't it?
Immediately selling out everything. Why not? Mark Salad says, morning homies, thoughts on eventually having underutilized former NXT talent who are possibly going to leave soon, going back and putting over new talent in NXT 2.0. If so, who would you want to see? He'd pick Tony D'Angelo versus Kevin Owens. Which, honestly, I don't think I can top that.
That's pretty damn good. Yeah, I'd just love to see Kevin Owens' sarcastic, disapproving face of Tony D'Angelo just going full, what you doing, buddy? Yeah, forget about it. And just being like,
D'Angelo's trying to bribe him at the beginning, and Kevin Owens just dropping it on the floor, what are you doing, mate?
Just stun him. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd also like to see Bron Breakker versus Sami Zayn. think that'd be beautiful. I think that'd be great. And then you got people like Asuka. You could just, you know, bring Asuka back. Asuka could do some serious work with some of the women in that division. That'd be a hell of a homecoming. And she'd just suit the aesthetic right now. It's all very colourful. Yes. That's Asuka.
It's built around her look. Yeah, I'm with you on the Asuka thing. Asuka versus pretty much anyone on that women's roster now would be absolutely fantastic. And she'd have a lot to offer in terms of experience and teaching them new things. I'd be hugely down for that. Asuka versus Candice LeRae. That's what I want in my life right now.
Oh, yeah. Might have to wait a while for that one, but that'll be good.
Yeah, that's true. Final question comes from Kuyalavan. Kuyalavan.
Expertly done, my friend.
Twitter. I'm sure I've nailed that. Pretty sure. Sorry if I haven't. Who says, what are your top three best finishing stroke signature moves of all wrestling?
Good question. Oh, that's a very good question. I like Goldberg spear, followed by Big Show spear, but no, we're not doing this. So on Goldberg, I actually like the jackhammer. That was always a favorite of mine as a kid. And I like the F5. That was good. Yeah, all about the F5. That still pops me to this day. It's incredible. And then I've got to go high flying for one of them. I like the frog splash. I go Eddie or RVD, either one of those. Their frog splashes were just chef's kiss.
Fair, like it. I will go for the worm for obvious reasons. And the Blue Thunder Bomb, just because I really like it. Or maybe, I can't remember what it's called now, Baron Corbin's thing. Oh, the End of Days is also really, really good. It's a good
move.
This is
the one that he does.
Tippy top of all of wrestling moves is 100% the Rikishi Driver. It's incredible. I love it. Even if it is slightly incredibly dangerous, it looks absolutely fantastic.
Thought you were going to go stink face route there for a second, Phil. Got a bit worried. I'm not going to lie. That was edgy stuff for a minute there.
Not going quite there. Yeah. And it's quite good, let's face it.
It's pretty good.
Bring it back. Rikishi. Put him in the bloodline. I know, right?
It's changed the game.
Get Jacob Fatu in there as well. Why not? Load this thing up.
We're going to go down a route here, Phil.
That's a trick. On that note, let's leave it. Thank you very much for joining us. Like I say, like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below what you think of all of today's news stories, including what all your favorite wrestling moves are. Let us know. And while
and
you're at it,
perform them on your friends as well. We encourage
it. Indeed. That's what I used to do. That's how I figured that the crippler crossface really, really hurts.
There's a horrible backstory here.
I'm sorry, Darren, if you're watching. He did not have a good day.
I can see him in the comment section already. This is so good.
Also, Swanton bumming off ladders onto mattresses in my backyard. I may have done a bit of backyard wrestling.
But there's video clips out there somewhere of this. This is good. This is good. I want to see this detail.
But yeah, if you want to find out more about this, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at PhilMyJamers, and you can follow Gareth.
At GMorgan04.
If you really want to after this.
And
what else? Yeah, that's the end of the video. We're good at this.
Have Keep yourselves... backyard wrestling. Bye.
Have yourselves a bloody good day.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.